If there's content that's borderline, that's content that we basically will not.
There is no second best. There is no second best crypto asset.
I respect you and I have a great deal of appreciation to you, Jaya.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Jeff G Tonight Chill Show. We will review the developments in the Iran war. Very unclear, everything that's happening. Negotiations, Turkey, UAE, people getting into it, but not much advancements. Sadi Edward was doing a review of my five top tips. Very good review. One, every day you allow yourself to be surrounded by dangerous people is a gamble with the odds not in your favor. Is this worth the risk? Two, make yourself not worth the trouble. Wow, yes. Three, never apologize. Yes. Oh yeah, those are important ones. Four, never help a woman who doesn't want to be helped. It destroyed many men. Five, make babies, never pull out. Wow, wow, wow. It is as summarized as I've ever seen in terms of what I deeply recommend and in terms of how my kind of help of, you could call it self-help or whatever, my kind of counsel on the world is very different from what you get out there. There's no one who makes any of these 5 points. I mean, maybe number 4 exists in the manosphere, but there's no one out there making point 1. Maybe Scott Adams had kind of done it once. Make yourself not worth the trouble. No one gives this tip. People are carrying their value on them. People are isolatable. They make themselves valuable. They put themselves in dangerous situations. And yeah, make yourself not worth the trouble. Be so far from civilization that they can't even find an assassin who would drive to your place. That's literally how you survive. You live so far that the gasoline cost cannot be covered by the assassin. Stephen Robinson says, JF will never make it as a government psychologist. You can be sure of this. Holy shit, how long would I have held my license? 5 seconds, if I ever got it. New researchers at Stanford University modeled how many people could die or be disabled in 25 years if vaccines for polio, measles, rubella, or diphtheria were no longer available. Bullshit. Absolute bullshit. As was pointed out by OpenVirus, modeling is no better than fortune telling. They design the case, the algorithm, and the data. Then it gives the outcome that is most desired. They want to hold people in fear. It's so disappointing what they've done with medicine, because medicine is generally trustable, but the domain of vaccines has been completely destroyed by these people who are in prevention, and they make the worst assumptions. So they make the assumption that if polio was to reappear, that it would have first the same effect that it had back in the days, which is not even clear to me. What would a polio spreading in the US look like? in a partially vaccinated population, and in a well-nourished population, I'm pretty sure it would have much less dramatic effect. In fact, I'm wondering sometimes, to what extent are these diseases for which we vaccinate just colds, basically? To what extent are they just like the cold or like a cough, like influenza? And to what extent is our conception that they were dangerous diseases tied to the fact that they were appearing in very weak populations in the past, and then you had a certain percentage of the people who were very malnourished or they had specific nutritional deficiencies? I wonder how these diseases would fare in modern America. Plapides says, for your information, right now Russia is doing a massive cull of livestock in the far reaches of Siberia. They say we have to control disease, but there is no outbreak. Far-flung rural folks are the first for Agenda 2030. Russia? I'm very disappointed if Russia is doing it. I was kind of counting on Russia to be liberating us from Agenda 2030. That really sucks if they're doing it the same way they're doing it in Canada with the ostriches and everything. And Timmy Asset says it was the sanitation that reduced diseases. I don't know. I'm prepared. If there was an outbreak of polio, I think I could survive with my food reserves and stuff. I'm all into, like, yeah, bring it. Bring it. Let's close the Walmarts for a couple of weeks. Don't bring it like you did in COVID for a fucking common cold. Bring it for something real. Like, I have my hazmat suit barely used. Barely used. People are mocking me for my hazmat suit, but I never use it. Literally, I just use it once for you guys. And people now are clipping that. I want to use that hazmat suit for real. Aaron McIntyre was asking about the J.D. Vance psyops. I think, Aaron McIntyre, can you blink twice if you are unable to speak about this subject? Because Aaron McIntyre is always flirting with dangerous ideas, but when he knows it's too dangerous, he asks the question, oh, isn't that bizarre? Isn't that bizarre, all these demographic changes? Not that I'm against them. I'm a Christian. I'm for the concept that anyone can be a Christian, but isn't that bizarre? And now, he's been blazed. I guess you could say that. So he says, he talks about the whole theme that we've been talking about. Nick Fuentes has been talking about it. I've been talking about it. The idea that J.D. Vance is under heavy psyops right now to be presenting him to the American public as anti-war. They even want, I think they're setting up a situation where he would be some kind of solution to the war. Like, he would be the one with whom the Iranians would want to negotiate. I don't even know that that's true. I have no sign from the official Iranian channels and the government institutions in Iran. I have no sign that they are demanding to talk to J.D. Vance. And yet we have in the American media all of these psyops, these seeded story of, oh, well, he's ripping off Benjamin Netanyahu. He's telling Benjamin Netanyahu, you shouldn't have brought us into this war. The problem is, okay, that's all good, but I'd like to know that it's true. And I don't think we can trust the media. The American media is currently being paid to output these leaks and stories from sources within the government. And the goal of this is to have you vote for JD Vance while thinking that you're voting for an anti-war person. And it will be a JD Vance who would take the presidency from 2028 and who would wage an even longer war against Iran. Mark my words, it's gonna happen. Now, Oran McIntyre is apparently trying to play naive around all this. He says, I wonder why there's an entire not-so-behind-the-scenes effort to ensure Vance doesn't become Trump's successor by neocons. So he's framing it in a different light. He's not seeing it for what it is, I believe, for what I believe it to be. I believe that there are forces who absolutely want J.D. Vance as president in 2028, and they are trying to set up a story in which J.D. Vance would have been anti-war, when in fact he's not. He stated publicly that we should strike Iran hard. And Oran McIntyre is saying they're really trying hard for Vance not to be elected. I don't think it's what they're doing. I think they are actively building an anti-war persona for Vance to fool the American public. Mark my words. It looks very much like this. It looks very much like the initial motivations of David Frum, as reported by Nick Fuentes, who saw in J.D. Vance exactly this capacity to deceive the American people. Because as Nick Fuentes quoted from, he has a credible story. Marby Dog says, yes, JF, Oran is promoting a useful lie. Well, you know, I don't know about this guy. I don't know to what extent he's like under threat. He's controlled by the Blaze, or is he a honest actor? But at least he has the respect of following me on Twitter. So that's good. And I have put a reply under his tweet so that he can see that that is the theory. And in fact, I asked Grok to remind us in 2030. So in 2030, we'll see if I was right. But it's like, it's a very naive take to believe, oh, well, they're just incompetent. They're just incompetent and they're going to get Vance not elected. No, they want to get Vance elected for a much more nefarious purpose than you seem to understand. ELDR says there is no political will whatsoever in the West that desires to maintain the West. At best, there exists a counterforce that wishes to see the world fall into multipolarity. Absolutely. Our society is in absolute free fall. Everything is going to shit. I have no hope. But by the way, I've become so blackpilled about America. So blackpilled to levels that I wasn't even blackpilled before. I truly think that even if my audience, a lot of you are in America, are in the US, I feel so much less American these days, my friends. And I'm sure some of you guys within the US also feel like this. But it's like, yeah, you have to just accept the US will go to absolute shit. And I would start considering moving out of the US if I was in the US. I think I made kind of a good instinct call. When I saw that my rights weren't defended by the courts in the US, I moved out of the US, went back to Canada. And we have to learn to categorize and separate. Is Canada perfect? Absolutely not. Canada is in deep shit too. But it's in its own form of shit. And it's a different type of shit than what the US is in. The US has no place to run. No place to run. Canada has places to run. I effectively live a life that's very similar to what my parents probably lived in the 70s and 80s because I chose my spot. You can't do that in the US. Very soon there will be no place left to run unless you're a millionaire. Then you can have these big walls and stuff and fenced properties and cameras, but for the poor people of America, Holy shit. One moment, I'm sneezing. All right, oh la la. Sneezing strong. All right. UAE making a big military move to help clear the strait as pressure on Iran steps up. So you have the UAE who is claiming to be coming as some sort of reinforcement to defend the Strait of Hormuz. But what is their capacity? And to what extent are the Shahid drone tactics of Iran capable of addressing anything that they could send at them? So I don't know here. We're oscillating with the UAE as United Arab Emirates. We're oscillating on, is this just a symbolic move to give support to Trump, to show their allegiance to Israel and to the cause of restoring order in the region, or is it more than symbolic? Is this going to have some tactical advantage? I find this is why I titled Panicked Tonight. I find the American military strategy extremely weak. It's like, it's kind of ridiculous how you have the Marco Rubios of this world begging other countries to go unblock the Strait of Hormuz. America begging for other countries to do these things after it caused all the mess. It's kind of ridiculous, and it's kind of showing a weakness of the American military, which is, okay, you have all this advanced technology. You can kill anyone on Earth. Bravo. Now, have you ever considered that there are nations and civilizations who are specialized in getting killed and it won't matter? Like there are military strategies, and of course the classical we attack and there you are defending, that is just one military reality. It happens sometimes, but there are other things that nations do. The classical in the movie of Napoleon was the Russians who they leave a fort. It's the winter, the army is coming. Instead of defending the fort, you just empty all of your food reserves and you fuck off in the winterlands. Now what are you gonna do? Now you have a whole fort, you won it without battle, but now you're faced with the cold. And that is a lesson that nations should learn. There are peoples who have so little things of value. That's also my trick for personal life. Make yourself not worth it. And stay poor. And the poorer you are, the least reason there would be for people to try to do something wrong to you. The same is true in geopolitics and in military tactics. And then there's the Iranian tactic, which is don't necessarily abandon the fort, but be super resilient to distant remote strikes. You can bombard inside Iran all you want, apparently. Apparently the US is capable of doing this. Even targeted assassination at a distance. Okay. But now you have a second regime, and this second regime knows that they are potentially being targeted by missiles. So you'll have much more difficulty killing them. And on top of it, they have a whole history of developing tactics to annoy at a distance, to not to face a lined up army, not to face your highest technology and your planes, but to be very difficult to do anything about Iranian society if you don't have a massive ground invasion, something that the current numbers of soldiers in the Middle East couldn't accomplish. Plapida says, JF, this Russian strategy actually has a cynical name, tactical retreat. All right, very good. I didn't know the official name, but it makes sense. Joe Anon says, the Ukrainian countryside actually the Ukrainian countryside looks like it's covered in spider webs because of the fiber optics lines everywhere. It's crazy, this new technology of the fiber optics drone. Because it's a drone that's flying, but it has this super long optics fiber filament, which they use because there's all sorts of ways you can jam a signal, but the fiber optics spool. But it's like the drone is carrying this wire over kilometers, over trees, and it's just laying down on the tree after. It's fascinating. Fascinating in terms of an evolution of war that is kind of counterintuitive in the way it appeared, but it makes sense when you understand that it's all about the signal jamming. Perhaps at some point we will have a step forward from this, which is independent AI drones, where the signals will be kind of useless, where the drone will be intelligent enough to make its own decisions about what are the most viable targets. We also learned that drones have been apparently deployed. I mean, it's very hard to get information from the American side because it seems that the American media is all into this deceptive mode. But Asia Times here claiming that there was an attack on a military base inside the U.S. in Louisiana. Sophisticated drone attacks. So apparently it probably didn't cause much damage. But there were drones flying around a military base in Louisiana and trying to damage probably the bombers or the buildings associated with these bombers. But it's hard to rely, you know, AsiaTimes.com. Is that true? Is that a planted story from the other side to demoralize Americans? I have zero clue. And 99% of the videos I'm seeing right now on X, I cannot establish whether they're true, whether they're AI generated. It is said that a ship from Pakistan, has been blown up this morning by the Iranians. Kind of bizarre because you would expect some kind of sympathy between Pakistan and Iran. But I don't know. And it's like the pictures of the ship have arisen. Was this truly a Pakistani boat? It is said that Pakistan was often using the Pakistani flag to actually transfer the oil to other countries. So perhaps that would be a reason why they got struck. The spools of fiber optics, says Joannan, are 8 kilometers long. Wow. 8 kilometer wire. We're back to the wired world. I never left the wired world. I do have a router at home, but my setup here is all connected through wires because I truly believe in Wi-Fi is unstable in its nature. Shrig Mamel sends $10. Glad to hear from you, Shrig Mamel. Glad to see you. He says, I know you predicted last week that Trump is prepping the American people for peace. Do you still believe this? I don't see any sign that has reinforced my view on this. But I don't see any sign that we are headed toward an escalation up to now. There are stories being planted on the American side saying Trump is getting tired with the war. That totally makes sense. Trump is this kind of guy, you know, he wants things to move fast and he gets tired very fast if it doesn't move. What I don't understand is why Trump didn't yet declare victory. Perhaps he has in his mind to do one last big strike. So I think it's possible we will get a strike. By the way, my prediction has never been that Trump wants peace immediately. My prediction to begin with, if you listen to my reasoning then, was the Iranians don't want to escalate. They don't look like they want to escalate. They do a lot of bravado in press to save face, but they don't look like they want a massive escalation, and it wouldn't be in their interest to constantly be under strikes continuously and more toward their infrastructure. But we have seen some provocative actions today. Certain steel factories in Iran have been struck, it would seem, by Israel, or in collaboration with the US loosely, or whatever, the duo. One of these partners bombed inside steel factories. Now we're entering the civilian domain and the infrastructure domain. And there were talks on official Iranian channels of revenge strikes on steel factories of Bahrain, Qatar, other local infrastructure places. So that's the state. I don't know what's real. I don't know if Iran is just talking of revenge to save face or if they're going to do it for real. I don't know how much they can do it for real. That's the situation. Now look at how pathetic the American empire is. I mean, this is the most pathetic military message I've ever heard from America. And by the way, I'm anti-war, so I don't want America to be aggressive. But it's kind of weird that they are letting themselves look actually pretty weak.
Well, we're talking about this. There are some in the Iranian regime that are going around saying that they want to make the Strait of Hormuz tolling thing, they want to make it permanent. That's unacceptable. The whole world should be outraged by it. We're impacted by it a little bit, but the rest of the world is impacted by it a lot more, including many of the countries represented today here at the G7. And so if those countries are deeply impacted by it, all we've said is, you guys need to do something about it. We'll help you, but you guys are going to need to be ready to do something about it. Because when this conflict and when this operation ends, if the Iranians decide, well, now we control the Straits of Hormuz, and you can only go through here if you pay us, and if we allow you to, that's not only is it illegal under international law and maritime law, it's unacceptable. And that can't be allowed to exist. And so what we've said is that the countries that are most impacted by that should be willing to do something about it, and we'll help them. And that's what I said about.
So Marco Rubio is appealing to other countries. Go solve this problem. Well, wait a minute. You caused all of this mess, and now you are counting on other countries to fix it? It's so disappointing. It's like, oh yeah, we will use force recklessly, but without regard to the consequences for other countries. I'm sneezing. I'll be back. NoFX sends a super chat. He says, hello from Australia. Yes, NoFX! What were the songs of NoFX? NoFX, greater songs, greatest hits. NoFX, man. 20 best songs of NoFX. I don't even remember. I couldn't say I was a fan of NoFX. But it was music that was influencing my circles of friends. I don't even recognize these titles. Lisa and Louise, 99 bread balloons. 99 balloons is nice. It's good. My vagina. Okay. They had I don't quite remember. Maybe I would be more disappointed if I remembered their song. But there was a small period in my early high school days where NoFX was a big thing in our circles of friend. I'm extremely worried about what's happening to the conservative movement. It's being taken over by people with extremely nefarious intention. And this guy, Steve Bannon, I do not trust at all.
Thank you. Look, there was a lot of wisdom in what Brandon had to say, right, about all these fights, etc. And that's going to be worked out. The most important people here are you. You have to be convinced. We're in the middle of a war right now, or let me say probably the start of a war. The decision in going forward is obviously the commander-in-chief's. But he's got to have, people have to have his back, and you're only going to do that with full information. You have to be convinced that this is the right thing to do, particularly now that we're on the eve of potentially the insertion of American combat troops. Your sons, daughters, granddaughters, grandsons could be on Karg Island or be holding a beach.
But is he objecting to this? Because he seems to be preparing people for it. It's like you have to stand behind the president. So basically, Steve Bannon is just pro-Iran war. It wouldn't be particularly surprising. He's been paranoid around the China stuff for a long time. So you could understand this as an attack on China, on the Chinese Empire.
Beachhead, down by the Strait of Hormuz, a place I was had the pleasure of transiting on a Navy destroyer back in 1980. And let me tell you, it looks like the surface of the moon. It couldn't be more foreign to folks in the United States. But as all this debate goes on and, you know, who's right, who's wrong, what's going to happen, it's a debate that has to happen.
That's not looking good. They have their people, they have their whole crew of Peter Thiel, Tucker Carlson, other people like Joe Kent who are developing this kind of anti-war positioning. They have the Steve Bannons of this world who appear now to be preparing the American public for an intervention, and perhaps he would even try to become president himself to lead this intervention. It's not looking good for the future of America and the skin suiting that is happening with the Trump movement and its continuation. These people are all there positioning themselves to be the continuation of Trump, which will be even worse than the second Trump presidency. So they're all trying to get their piece of the pie to get a chance at it. Plepides says, JF, did your compact disc player have tens of skip protection, or did you spring for the Deluxe 40s model? I don't remember. I don't remember having much skipping. It did happen if you were shaking. If you were shaking the furniture, a CD would skip and have to go back to its reading position. CPTSD Spurg says, Jeff, I got a new wagey job. Stocks are down, but I'm up on the year, so it's okay. I hate this planet and need money for copes. I'm the biggest incel here. I'm unfuckable. There's lots of desperation out there. I was speaking to some of our audience members today and earlier this week. People calling and asking for personal help. Man, what a shit world with fucking dangerous women out there. Just fucking psychos kidnapping children. It's a shame. It's an absolute shame, and society isn't there to help us. The official governments are all against us males. And it's like, in my counseling to these guys, it's like mostly about how you have to accept, move on, and keep inseminating. Because there is no recourse, no legal recourse for any man in this fucking nightmare world. Unbelievable. and you have the whole system built to help women kidnap children. The nurses at the hospital, they stay silent. The people at the airport are allowing her to fly out without male permission. The whole system is built to deprive you of your rights. And this has to be fixed. There's an entire generation of children that will be hurt by crazy fucking single moms, fucking psychos. And there's no political project right now. You won't hear a single thing from any of these people on the podiums that are supposed to be conservatives. They're not even conservative enough to restore families. John Drake says, oh man, I did buy an expensive one with anti-skip. It did work some, but the price was 10 times more. Oh yeah, anti-skip was a technology that was basically trying to absorb the shock or prepare the laser was movable so that it would continue reading despite the movements. But really, skip has never been such an annoyance that you need anti-skip on CDs. I don't know why I'm talking about this, because CDs are dead now. But for posterity, just so you know, CDs were not skipping that much that anti-skip was needed at all. You could absolutely just be careful. Okay, so it was a memory buffer. So that was the technology. It was just reading in advance, storing it, and so if there was a skip, it could recover its reading before it was done. Well. Turkish Foreign Minister Akan Fidan announces start of U.S.-Iran negotiations on nuclear facilities, Strait of Hormuz, and regional proxies. Turkish Foreign Minister Akan Fidan announced that the U.S. had initiated negotiations with Iran, conveyed via Pakistan with Turkish coordination, demanding Iran dismantle Natanz, Fordo, and Ifasan. So basically, it's so contradictory, the positions of the U.S. Because the position is, oh, we totally destroyed their nuclear sites forever. There's no recovery. They will have to rebuild from scratch. And then they're asking, well, as part of our negotiation, you will have to commit to dismantle these sites. Well, didn't you tell me like 4 months ago or something that you had blown them up to smithereens, that there was no recovery possible? It's like, it's very confusing. And as far as I'm concerned, Iran is probably in a good position here, because they could want peace so much that they will accept this. Okay, we don't have nuclear power. They could also just say, fuck off. And they could just say, come and get us. Come and get us, bitches. And Trump would be forced to do constant airstrikes. And it's probably the case that the Iranians will be more and more prepared in air defense. Because at some point we're gonna lose pilots going into Iran. It seems that they were not able to catch our pilots very much with anti-air defenses last time. But at some point they're gonna catch up and they're gonna be more prepared. And at some point it's like, okay, now we're down to bombing schools. What's the next target? Are you going to start bombing residential buildings? There's nothing so interesting to strike in Iran. You want to set them back 10 years, set them back 50 years in terms of manufacturing? Okay, I guess you could, but it's going to be at the price of legitimacy for Trump. Caligula says, oh shit, JF, there is a two-piece band from Canada, maybe Quebec, that are blowing up called Engine de Poitrine. I heard this name. I think you may have talked to me about it. I don't know very much. Marby Dog says, JF, family court change equals legal decision to require females to match child support payments in an escrow account, maybe? No. That's not the change you need to family courts. No such thing as child support payments of any kind. Child support payments should not exist. There is one thing that's needed to family courts. Hold women responsible for breaking the family, reduce their time with children, and advantage the husband who wanted to stay in the marriage by giving him more than 50% custody. That's what we have to reach. The minute woman realize that, oh, when I break a family, I end up with just 40%, 30% custody, I might as well stay with my husband. So that's what's needed on the family court. It's not, don't start any sort of escrow, okay? If she is unable to care for the child for her 30 to 40% time, the child must stay 100% with the husband. No transfer of money whatsoever. And no decision making given to the female. Because of course she's going to decide to subscribe the child to public school, and then it's going to obligate you on your time with the child to carry the child to whatever she's decide. No decision power to people breaking couples. No 50% custody to people breaking couples. No sole custody to females. Period. It's bad. We have the science. We can measurably say it's bad. You're fucking up a whole generation of people with this shit. And the memes suck. The memes that they're trying to do to side with the Trump-Iran war, to imitate the original internet in which actual individuals were delivering comedic memes. The memes suck.
I mean, I see this, I it's so incredible.
Ding, 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 ding.
Okay.
So we're supposed to be, Trump suggested to call it the Strait of Trump. Ha ha ha, let's go, boys. Let's keep bombarding nations. Like, this is kin suiting of actual memetics. They're developing these memes in fucking rooms with PowerPoints and women trying to find how do we dominate social media? How do we change the American mind? Fucking crap. We live in a world of shit. We're being poured shit all over us by a leading regime that wants to enrich itself and enrich elites and lives off the killing of human beings to do so. UAE says that the Strait of Hormuz is not Iranian property. It will be opened now with multi-forces. Again, as I was commenting earlier, to what extent is that efficacious? I don't know. John Drake says, women are allowed to kidnap your kid and your capital and future labor. It's crazy. It's absolutely insane. We have to absolutely dismantle all of the family courts as it stands. And we have to just make this 60-40. Just make it 60 male, 60% of the time of the child with the male, 40% with the female. You just abolish the divorce problem. It's finished. And you've just solved the real estate shortage. Because now people live together. Oh, and oh, is it so oppressive? You can just do this and you fixed, like, you fix 95% of the problems of society. 40% automatic to the female. And if she makes false allegations, if she makes allegations at all about the male, 30%. And every time she yaps or she goes in the media to try to ruin the reputation of her male, 20%, 10%, 0%. That's what Italy has begun doing at some point a few years ago. And it's like, suddenly women aren't trying to wreck marriages anymore. You have to punish bad behavior in society. If you don't, you're going to end up with an infinity of it. ELDR sends a super chat. He says, absolutely correct on family court. Thank you very much. The Houthis are about to make an important announcement. Reports saying they've joined the wider war are circulating, but wrong, per Intel sources. What's likely coming instead, a statement about military readiness. Again, that's a statement of military readiness on the side of support for Iran. I don't know how the Houthis can matter. I know that there's been a lot of stories pushed on the American side that the Houthis could eventually block the other strait. Okay, but we've not seen much action on this. Toby Meister says, but consider how war-hungry Muslims might be, though, with wire and higher IQ. Maybe them getting a nuke would be really bad. I'm not scared of them getting a nuke, personally. Because nukes, if they were to be used, they would be used on parts of our nation that I don't give a shit about, honestly. I couldn't care less. So it's like, no, I'm not scared of Iran getting nukes. And in fact, perhaps it would impose some respect on the blatant violations of Iranian sovereignty that the American Jewish Empire has been engaged in for the last 60 years. 60 years of attempts of these passive-aggressive and sometimes just straight-out aggressive attempts at messing with the sovereignty of Iran. I don't see Kim Jong-un having any problem with this. Is it because Kim Jong-un has a nuclear bomb? I don't see Pakistan being much annoyed by Israel. Is it because Pakistan has a nuclear bomb? So it's like, it does seem that nuclear causes peace. It does seem that nuclear proliferation has been good for the nations that have it. And the nations that don't have it are constantly getting regime changed, constantly having their sovereignty violated. So it's very clear to me what the game theory says, independent from the fact that I'm not siding with Iran, but it's very clear what the game theory is. If you don't get nukes, you're going to get pummeled. And if you have nukes, you're safer. I mean, this is the exact same game theory concepts that justify us having nukes, right? Well, the same applies to any other nation. Willie says, I won primary custody and child support in court. Wifey's friends ratted her bad attitude out, and I was a great dad. Ken can win in court with a good strategy. Yeah, but it's so exceptional that it's not even worth talking about. And the simple fact that you have to have all this strategy is completely ridiculous. It should be given. It should start as a given that you are the leader of the family and that you keep custody when your woman flees. That should be the rule, but it's never the rule. Almost never the rule. Russia to ban gasoline exports from April 1st. So it seems that perhaps Russia is concentrating on focusing on accumulating its oil so that it doesn't face issues related to oil instability on the worldwide market. FBI responds to Joe Kent's claims after his public resignation from the National Counterterrorist Center. The response is very weak. They say he's complaining that he was excluded from the investigation. But he was never excluded. He was never part of the investigation. Okay, well, so that sounds like you excluded him. He was never part of it. Well, okay, so you excluded it from the beginning or from very early, which is exactly what he's been saying. So it seems that his story makes sense. You have made it so that he wouldn't be able to ask important questions about these assassination attempts or successful assassination. Hollow Cutter says, what is JF's Y haplogroup? It's the European one. I don't exactly remember. I would have to go back and look. But it's one of the major that you would expect from Western Europe. They had me fired, arrested 4 times, suspended my medical license, smeared me in every paper. Now the British Zionist Jewish lobby is attacking my fundraiser. It cost me £90,000 to defend my license. I live on what remains of my life savings. So a doctor who is getting in trouble because she seems to be Arab and has been opposing to genocide. And that will trigger some people. It's a touchy subject. It's a very controversial issue. Are you for, against genocide? She was against, and that was the wrong side to be on. So they're giving her all sorts of trouble just to make her life hard, which is what they do with any ideological opponents. They harass you, they try to dox you, they try to get people to hurt you. This has to stop. This has to stop. It's crazy just how much they deploy in terms of effort to ruin your life. And this is completely anti-Western as a behavior. And the people who are calling for these attacks, and including ADL's Jonathan Green Black, who has developed an entire AI system to help his bullies bully these people easier. So the AI system is designed to find everything about you and find every way in which they can mess with your life once you are an opponent of the actions of the state of Israel. And that's admitted. That's how Jonathan Greenblatt describes this system. Well, did the AI catch her? Did the AI detect that she was a doctor and an Arab? Did the AI decide, you can fuck up her license for what she said about Israel? Look. This has to be made illegal, and it has to be heavily punished. The whole behavior, not just the guy at the bottom who ends up harassing you. The whole line up to Jonathan Greenblatt must be criminalized. excellent video of How to Handle Potatoes by Marco Pierre White. I was watching this today. 4 different ways of preparing potatoes. Excellent technique. Slicing of the potatoes. a dish where he layers potatoes and onions and potatoes, onions. And then he makes what seems to be very good fries. It's a good video that I recommend. I was being reminded by this post today of Rebecca Watson. this woman killed new atheism. If you're not familiar with Rebecca Watson, she's a 10th tier atheist blogger who kicked up a stink back in 2011 when she went to an atheist conference in Dublin and some dude hit on her in the elevator. In fact, if I remember correctly, he proposed perhaps having a coffee together. She ranted endlessly about how creepy he was and how unsafe being asked out on a date made her feel, and the incident was dubbed Elevator Gate. Richard Dawkins waded into the fracas and suggested that being hit on in an elevator wasn't the end of the world. He asked you out, Becky. You weren't interested. End of. This caused everyone to freak out at Dawkins' misogyny and about the supposed problem with misogyny and atheism in general, leading large numbers of prominent atheists such as P.Z. Myers to split off into Atheism Plus. Oh, bro, good memories. I wonder what to think about this today. Because in a way, of course you don't want this wokeness in the world. But in a way, this wokeness internally to the militant atheist community discredited it and led to its fragmentation. And that's kind of a good thing. So I'm like, was Rebecca Watson good? Tough question. Like, if you're going to have pink-haired terrorists in your nation that are just looking to fuck things up from a gender war perspective, they might be better positioned fucking up these movements than they would being wives. Because if they're wives, they're going to fuck up your marriage. If they fuck up new atheism, maybe it's not so bad. Maybe we should celebrate Rebecca Watson. She was kind of an agent of turmoil within a movement that was unsustainable and that was ultimately dangerous for civilization. End of the line, Joel says, the end of faith. Bro, those were special years. I mean, it's fascinating how this got outdated so quick. It's like how cringe it became. Because this was the only type of YouTubing, of political YouTubing, that existed at some point. New atheism. It was the only thing, because the internet was filled with atheists first. And the Christians hadn't caught up yet. So there was a complete domination of skepticism and new atheism. And it was so naive in a way, and it was so self-deceptive, because these very people who were claiming to be at the pinnacle of the search for truth, the minute the word race got mentioned, holy shit, did they run in their fucking dance to never speak again. Holy shit, did they shut the fuck up. Holy shit, did they not become skeptical? Did they show that they had no skeptics inside of them? And these people were ultimately just dumb people, making themselves voices of established institutional science. They were in no way actual intellectuals. They were in no way asking themselves the question, processing through a non-social process of truth finding. They were a bunch of Fedora tippers. Yes, Ty Rogerson. They were Fedora tippers that were as flawed and social as the wokes, which is why so many of them were wokes. And the small distinction between the actual wokes of Atheism Plus and the Richard Dawkins of this world, it has become so small. It's unimportant. It's irrelevant. Woke or semi-woke or leftist non-woke, all the same. All people who are guided by liberal morality rather than truth. Shrek Mamel sends a super chat. He says, in terms of race mixing, a Taiwanese woman aren't a bad option being East Asian. I'm not accustomed to the Chinese authoritarianism, considering that I've dated mostly white women. Oh yeah, I mean, behavioral issues in the Chinese woman is enormous. It's not easy. I mean, they are authoritarian, insane families. And it's a 007 task to inseminate a Chinese female. Hopefully you don't get hurt, Trigma Man, in your adventures. But holy shit, yes, it is an entire different way of life, and the females are crazy. They're fucking insane. Or maybe you would want to go the Tate route instead of the Asian route.
Indians, where do all the Indians come from? Is India real?
Is this a real question?
Yeah.
Because I feel like, no offense, and you seem like a very nice girl, but this.
She's questioning whether the Indians exist and whether there's as many as them as claimed. She's questioning the official narrative on the count of Indians. Now, that's an old video, but somehow someone shared it on the Discord today.
Questions in this podcast are below my intellectual level. Indians come from a country called India. And yes, there are 1.3 billion of them.
No, okay, do you really believe there are 7 billion people?
She's now questioning the full count of humanity.
Well, there's more than 7, there's 7.4.
Do you really believe that?
Yes, I do.
Have you seen that many people?
She is now questioning the epistemological reality of non-observed counts of people. She demands that you count every single one, and she is redefining empiricism as the things that you have seen. Not so bad. There's something deep about this girl. She could make it in a department of philosophy, maybe in some university.
Come on. what's that based on? You really? Come on, it's a big number.
She is now using a Socratic method to question the number rhetorically, without making a fundamental argument, merely implicating through her tone that maybe this number is not realistic. She questions everything. She has reached nihilism.
That many Indian? You think there are a billion Indian people?
Central Asia was the cradle stone of human civilization. So although humans started in the Ethiopian Rift Valley, the conditions for humans to multiply and then create agriculture and to become much bigger was in Central Asia. So when humans first left Africa, the Ethiopian Rift Valley, they found the best climate for themselves and a climate that they didn't actually evolve in, which is the Central Asian, the Central Asian peninsulas and the Chinese population.
Okay, well, thanks for the history course. Is it true that Central Asia was a kind of cradle of agricultural humanity? Maybe. Partly. Maybe. Rodilacid says, she sounds dumb, but hasn't there been some people now saying that China has been inflating their demographic numbers? Yes, that's a meme that's going around. I don't know why. I don't know the motivation under the meme, but it's going around. I've seen it on social media. People claiming that the Chinese population numbers are inflated. I have no idea how we checked this. Nicholas Petris says she plays a character. Pretty funny, but possibly part of the Teal Network. Sadly, she appeared on a couple of MDE projects. This girl? Okay, I didn't know. So she's some kind of agent that was sent to the Tate brothers. Rodi Lacid says, Jeff, you could probably organize a discussion between Richard Spencer and Sargon. Styx is falling on hard times, but he would probably join too. It would be a great conversation to see how they changed. That would be fun to make. I don't know that I can make this happen. I'm sure Richard would be in. I'm sure Styx, if he's healthy and can do it, I'm sure he could. But Sargon accepting this, I don't know. Sargon has moved on a lot. And in fact, he blocked me at some point. When in fact, I wasn't even saying anything bad about him. I was kidding around with old memes and talking about Soy, the Soy father. And to me, it wasn't even meant as an insult to him. It was meant as a celebration of a moment of the internet where Sargon of Akkad was at the center of everything. And he was called the Soy father at some point. he took it as an insult and blocked me. It's like, well, at this point, if we can't, this was not even meant as a slight against him. I find these nicknames super cute, actually. It's an honor to have a nickname, even if it's not as good as you would have wanted it to be, and even if it highlights a defect of your personality. To me, it's always been the case that the nicknames of the internet are rooting you in history. They are creating a reality, a historical record of what you've done. Shrink Mamel says, yes, JF, the mother-in-law went crazy when I wanted to stay out of their argument. Her mother wanted me to get her under control. Okay, well, that's why sometimes with the Asian, you have to act more authoritarian to kind of to prove to the mother, look, I can handle your daughter. And it's like, it's bizarre from a North American perspective and from a freedom-loving perspective, but that's basically a requirement within Chinese society. So it's like you have to act tough and you have to show, oh yeah, you're going to control your behavior. Mean girl. And you do this in front of the mom and the mom says, oh, this guy is authoritarian. He can care for my daughter. And it's like, it's fucked up because why is it that as a male, I have to deal with all these behavioral psychiatric problem of yours? Like, wouldn't it be more easy for you not to be crazy to begin with? But no, nature never gives you this. Nature gives you a fucking bunch of insane women and you have to deal with what you're given. Oh, we had a super chat come in by Spider Eternal. Let's see.
Dating feels near impossible these days. Even good women are radioactive by proxy.
Absolutely. Which is why I say increase your exposure, inseminate, don't deal with any, don't get emotionally involved, don't get emotionally engaged. Every time a woman contacts me in DM or approaches me, I'm like, do you want to become a mother? I feel you'd make a great mother. When is the insemination? When are we meeting? Period. Just reduce it to the minimum because the thing is, with all this love, most of them don't deserve love. Many of them are just looking to exploit you, and it's like, okay. Always leave the door open to love, but don't start with it because you're going to hurt yourself. And don't develop too much hope. Like, play woman like a gambling game that involves $1. But you don't really care about the outcome. It's $1. You're going to lose two, or you're going to win two, or you're going to lose one. And approach it this way. Create a shell around your heart and just understand that 99% of the women out there are absolute psychos who are planning the kidnapping of your children.